Thank you. Well, good morning. It's good to see you all here today. Seems like things are falling all around me right now. This week, as I was preparing, I was somewhat convicted as I was climbing up into a box stand the other night, and I thought to myself, well, step back just a little bit. A couple weeks ago, a month or so ago, I took TJ hunting, and saw a pretty big buck. I told Junior it was so wide that it had to have a pilot car to get through the woods. Thanksgiving night, I seen it again just at dark. It was a pretty nice buck, but I couldn't get a shot at it. So I've been hunting it pretty hard, going up there every chance I get. And I thought, as I was climbing up into the box again the other night, that, you know, if I was seeking God as hard as I'm seeking this buck, maybe my priorities aren't right. Maybe I certainly can do better. And my mind went to the verse in Psalms 42, verse 1 and 2, which says, "As a deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Is my soul really thirsting after God? Am I really seeking? Am I really panting for God? Another verse that goes right along with that is Isaiah 55, verse 6. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." And that's one thing I'm thankful for, is that God is always near to us. We can always call upon him. He will hear us. So as I thought about that this week, and the scripture that I have to start off with is going to be out of Deuteronomy, chapter 10. And as I thought about it, I thought about, what is the heart of God? Am I seeking the heart of God? What does God want? And then this morning, I didn't even notice it when I read over our lesson until this morning when Wesley read it. The last verse in there, it says, "But we have the mind of Christ." Verse 16 says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So went right along with it. What is the heart of God? What does God want? What does he want from me? So I'm going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Starting in verse 12, and he's talking to Israel, but it goes right along with us. It says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul?" Can I do that? Am I doing that? God is asking us, he's requiring of us, to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, to serve him with all our heart, all your soul. Are we serving God with all of our heart? Are we serving him with all of our soul, all of our being, all of our might? Verse Verse 13 says, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you today. Do we know what His commandments are? What His statutes are? Do we know what God wants? What does God want? The end of that verse 13 says, for your good. Not for His good. Not for someone else's good. But for your own good. How many times as a parent do you tell your child, it's for your own good? You don't understand this now, but it's for your own good. Just do what I tell you. God is telling us, it's for our own good that He wants us to do these things. To walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve Him with all of our heart, with all of our strength. Verse 14 says, indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, and also the earth with all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and He chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples, as it is this day. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. Verse 16, that means to cleanse your heart. Get a new heart. Be stiff-necked. Be proud no longer. It says, for the Lord your God is great. For the Lord your God is God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. So this is what God wants. What is the heart of God? God helps those who maybe aren't able to help themselves. God wants us to be able to reach out and help those who can't help themselves. Shows no partiality. And there's a scripture also in James that talks about that. James 2, verse 1 through 4 says, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you would pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? We're not supposed to show partiality. In the Old Testament, it talks about judging, and it says not to show partiality to the poor. Don't favor somebody just because they're poor. The New Testament talks, where we just read about it, talks also about being rich. Don't favor somebody because they're rich. We know that's our human nature, though, to do these things. I watched a little Bodie and TJ are playing basketball at Erskine right now. And there's partiality shown to the ones who are playing. The little guys, they let pretty much everybody get away with things like traveling and double dribble and that kind of thing. But as they get older, even the talent level of somebody, the better you are, the more they're held to a different standard. The younger ones in the older group, that, you know, they let them get away with travel here or double dribble, but it makes you, it kind of irritates you because they're showing partiality. And it says, don't show partiality. It's not good for you. It's not good to be showing partiality. It doesn't help. Going back to Deuteronomy, it says, nor takes a bribe. God doesn't take a bribe. Our mighty God. And as I thought about that, I thought about, well, you can't give God money. Say, here's money, God. Don't look the other way. But how many times do we, as children of God, say, God, if you just help me out, I'm going to do better next time. God, if you help me out, I'm going to be a better person. From here on out, God, I'm going to be good. We're trying to bribe God with our behavior, with what we're doing. As a parent, how many times have you heard your child say the same thing? Well, I'll do better, Dad. I'll do better. I didn't mean to. God doesn't take a bribe. Verse 18, he administers justice for the fatherless and the widow. Administers justice means he defends the cause. He sticks up for them. And if you look in the Bible, there's countless times it talks about God defending the fatherless and the widows. Psalm 68, verse 5 says, the father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. James, going back to James again, chapter 1, verse 27. It says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That is God's heart for those widows, for those orphans. God's heart. He wants to protect those. Verse 19 says, therefore love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. What is a stranger? Is it just someone you don't know? If you go by what it says, you were strangers in the land of Egypt. They were foreigners in the land of Egypt. They didn't belong there. And if you go to a foreign country, if you've lived in a foreign country, even though you have people that you know, people that love you, there's still a little bit of, well, he's an American. There's still a little bit of that I don't quite belong. But God says, love the strangers. And my mind went to Matthew 25, where God is talking about separating the sheep from the goats. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory. Sorry, I'm reading verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. And you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will also then they also will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you a hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick and or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into the everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The heart of God is to protect, to take care of those who can't take care of themselves. As I was studying up here yesterday, I got a picture from Jolene. And it was a picture of one of the boys giving him package, one of those little baggies, to somebody on the street. And I thought to myself, that's the heart of God. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to take care of those. That little bit. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. When have we done that to him? We don't have Christ with us just to do that to him, but we have those people all around us. You see those people. Take one of those packets. If they're all gone, make your own. You never know what something like that can mean to somebody that doesn't have it. God's heart is for the stranger, for the foreigner, for those who can't care for themselves. Verse 20, it goes back to what he said in the beginning. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him. And to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. He is your praise and he is your God who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. And as we say, 2020 hasn't been the greatest of years. And yet we're all here. Not one of us has missed a meal, I don't believe. We've all been blessed. God has done great things for us. We owe him all the praise, all the glory. The Bible says this is the day that the Lord has made. Doesn't matter if it's not the greatest day. God made it. He has a day for us. What else is God's will? What else does God want? As I thought about that, I thought about, it's God's will that none should perish, isn't it? 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And his promise was, it was talking about that he was going to come back. He was going to return. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's desire that all come to repentance. And even if he has to be patient, he's long suffering. Even if God right now is being patient, saying, you know what? I'm going to give him another day. I'm going to give him another day. What are we doing with that day that God is giving us? Are we telling somebody about him? Is his light shining through us? 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6 says, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God's desire is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And then verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. God knew that he had to make a way. That all men could be saved. God knew it. And as we think about this time of year that we're in the Christmas season. And we're all happy and we're all excited because we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. But God allowed him to come to this earth knowing what was going to happen. God gave us his son. John 3, 15 to 18 says, starting in 14, it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. God knew that his son was going to have to give his life. Jesus knew. This is Jesus speaking, and Jesus knew that he was going to have to give his life. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. God sent his only Son for you, for me, for that person on the street, for the man in the White House, for kings, for paupers. God had sent his Son. What are we doing to help God? You know, God doesn't need our help. God doesn't need us to do anything. God is all powerful. He created everything that we see. He created it. But God wants us. You know, after God created Adam and Eve, he said God was in the garden, was walking in the garden, calling out to them. God wants that fellowship with us. He doesn't have to have it, but he wants it. And he wants it so bad that he sent his only begotten Son to die for us. So this season, as there's things going on around you, as life is busy, we've all got things going on. It seems like there's so much going on around us. We can't do one more thing. But don't forget the heart of God, Father of the fatherless, Defender of the widows. God loves the stranger. God loves those who maybe don't look unlovable. But God loves each and one of them. God died for them just as much as he died for you. What is the heart of God? I challenge you to look at what God wants for you. To seek God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He is always near to us. He's just a call away. And last of all, God is love. God loved us so much. We should show that love to others around us. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that we have. Father, I pray that we would take it to heart. Father, I pray that we would seek you. I pray that we would follow after you. Father, I pray that you would give us a heart for those around us. Father, I pray that you would help us to seek your heart, to know what you would have for us. Father, I pray that you would just open our eyes to the things around us. Father, you blessed us with so much. I pray that you would just help us to be able to give back to those we come in contact with, to reach out, to share your love, and to have your heart for the hurting, for the stranger, for the fatherless, for the widows, for those we come in contact with. Father, I pray that you would just help us to share your love. I ask that you would just go with us tonight. Father, I pray that you would give us a good night tonight caroling. Father, a chance to show your love to those we come in contact with. It's been a difficult year for lots of those people who are shut in, who haven't been to church maybe in months because the churches aren't open. Father, I pray that we would let your light shine through us tonight. Father, I pray that you would just be with us today. Just keep us safe. Bring us all back safely together tonight. In your name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.